バブバババブバブババンバブバブババン。
My guess is that people listening to us on the stream of the internet sing along with the Babu Babu Babum song, don't you think?
It's very catchy.
It's very catchy. You could whistle it, you could hum it. If you have a xylophone, you could play it on the xylophone.
It's more fun to say Babu Babu Baba.
I know, I've been saying it a lot lately. People are worried.
People have been talking.
People are very worried about me. Hi, everybody. I'm Bill Left. That's Wendy Snyder. And this is our stream show. It's on for an hour. We call it Stream of Consciousness. We call it the Bonus Hour. We used to call it Adam 12, and that didn't make sense, so we stopped calling it that. You can call us at 312-235-2525.
Your brother liked it.
25. He did. He enjoyed it because his name is 12.
I know. It's good to give a shout-out to him.
Right. Hi, 12. Hope you're enjoying the show. All right. I have to ask you something because something was said earlier in our show today that I just keep thinking about over and over and over, and it's ridiculous, but I do. We had John McEnroe on. I have admired John McEnroe, I think, from the very first time I saw him play professional tennis. Yes, he was a hothead.
That's, you know, how you got your hotheadedness.
From John McEnroe?
Mm-hmm.
What I got was... because I'm very even-keeled on the tennis court. I like to win, and I do whatever I can to win. But what I admired most about him was his passion for the game. Every point meant something to John McEnroe. He didn't want to give up a single point in a match. And I like that work ethic. You know, I love that.
Should try it on your real job.
I don't have time for that on the show. One of us should do it, but neither of us
do.
I know. So whatever happens.
Kevin does.
All right, Kevin does. Kevin gives his all. All right, so here's my question. He's playing in this Power Shares thing a week from tomorrow night on the 17th of May at UIC. And I informed him that prior to him and the other pros playing that I'm part of a little exhibition match, which will be a lot of fun. And that happens at 5:15.
I think I know where
and
you're going.
And then he said, and I think you heard him say this, oh, I'll have to watch that.
I look forward to watching you play.
He said that.
So you're nervous now.
I'm not nervous at all. My question is, do you think he meant it, or was that just something that you say to sound like, oh, yeah, you're playing, I'm playing, yeah, I'll watch. Do you think he'll
Why does it all have to come back to you?
I don't want it to come back to me. I want to use it against Mark Carmen
because
it will bother him. If his idol, John McEnroe, is watching, I think that will freeze him up.
You just want to win. Boy, you'll go to any length to win this match.
Whatever it takes to win, I will do. And if this is what it takes, that's not a lot.
I think he will watch maybe while he's having a snack on a closed-circuit TV.
He won't sit courtside.
But you don't know that. He may.
Boy, would that be great. Wouldn't that be great?
You just have these... dreams of him watching you play, and in his head, his little thought bubble will go, God, that guy's really good. He was pretty funny on the radio.
We should be
Maybe
friends.
We'll hang out.
We should be pals.
I picture Bill kind of being like, hey, John, watch this. Or like doing a serve or something.
You know what? Yes.
Well, in my head, can I explain how it plays out? Because I would be thrilled if he watched, but I know it would affect Mark Carmen, who's on the other side of the court. And, I would, like, before every serve that Mark would throw, I would just point at John McEnroe as if to say to Mark Carmen, yeah, bring what you got, but look who's watching you. It's your idol. He's sitting right there. I would just keep doing that.
You know, I've said this to you many times. I think earlier today that karma is a B word.
Mark Karma. Mark Carmen? Did you mean Mark Carmen?
Karma is a B word, and I'm just saying you should have your head in the game, not on focusing on messing up Mark Carmen, because you said he's beat you before.
Three times.
So I wouldn't be playing games except for the one,
focus on the tennis, not on the distractions.
We told John McEnroe to walk by and say, you suck to Mark Carmen. If that happens...
wouldn't that be the most beautiful moment?
No, Carm would be sitting in a corner crying somewhere in a fetal position.
He does take things very seriously.
I know.
He really
does. Very sensitive.
He's very sensitive. It's Mark Carmen and Brooke Weisbrod, who is over at ESPN. And then my partner is Kelly Krull from CSN, from the Comcast Sportsnet. So it's winner take all, loser must leave town.
That's not true. And take all, what are you taking? That's
there's
not
no
for money.
There's no prize. It's just fun to say winner take all because it seems like then you got something. But I hope John McEnroe, I hope all the four pros, you know, spend a second or two just watching us and going,
they could watch and point
better?
And laugh at you.
You know, when I did stand up, many times I would work with my idols, like, you know, everyone from Jerry Seinfeld to Jon Stewart to Drew Carey. The list goes on and
on. Didn't that mess you up?
It never did. It you go, well, how could it not, knowing those guys are in the room?
You're an interesting human
being. But it never, I was like amused by the fact that somebody I admired was, I you know, many times I could look back and see them in the corner of the room or something. And I go, oh, that's cool. Dennis Miller's watching me do stand-up. I thought it was really fun. It never made me nervous.
You're an amazing piece of work. You know that? You're so confident.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Can we talk about one of my other idols? Jay Cutler is in the news again. Remember Jay Cutler?
Mm-mm. Refresh my memory.
Kevin, you told me he was the quarterback of the Bears for a while. Is this correct?
Yes,
yeah,
it's correct.
Jay Cutler was the quarterback for the Bears for a couple of years, apparently. Well, now he's taking shots at the Green Bay Packers.
He should just zip it.
Which is what he typically does. Right. He does usually. For those of you who don't know, Jay Cutler no longer QB of the Bears. They've got six or seven guys that are quarterbacks now, but it used to be Jay Cutler.
Now he's going to be an announcer. Can't wait to hear
for
that.
For Fox Sports.
Yeah.
He'll be in the Fox booth. Here's the story. Jay Cutler no longer has to worry about wasting his life playing football. Instead, he'll do that in the Fox booth every Sunday. The underachieving former Bears quarterback. Do you have a highlighter? Can I borrow your highlighter for a second? The underachieving former Bears quarterback stepped away from the NFL this offseason. It seemed like he stepped away 5 or 6 years ago,
yes,
but it turns out he just did it this season. After claiming he had lost passion for the game. I find the part that he at one point had passion for the game, the surprise. Which, it says, was fairly evident long ago, according to this story. Cutler finished with a losing record for his career. He was 68-71. And was absolutely crushed by the Green Bay Packers throughout his tenure in Chicago. His record, by the way, during those years, a miserable 2-11 in games he started for the Bears.
He won
2, he lost 11. And now the guy, Jay Cutler, is taking shots at the Green Bay Packers. It says, it's not a deep shot, but we mean to tell you that if the Packers called you and asked you, here's what they asked them. If the Packers called you and asked you to take over, would you give it a thought? So here's the scenario. This is from Colin Cowherd. I know that sounds like I'm making that name up, but he is a legitimate sports guy. He's at ESPN, right, Kevin? Colin Cowherd, yeah?
Here's Cowherd?
Cowherd, C-O-W-H-E-R-D. Here was the question he posed. If Aaron Rodgers got hurt and the Packers called, would you, Jay Cutler, come back to football? Cutler said, I'd have to pass on that.
Well, he wouldn't be able to pass. That's why he is not going to take the job.
Passing was not his strong suit.
No. And I mean, at this point, get out while you can. If he comes back, he'd have to do something, and that would be hard for him.
It would be impossible. This whole scenario, and I love the impossible scenario, but this scenario is totally impossible, because even if Aaron Rodgers did get injured, I think the last guy in the world they would call would be Jay Cutler. There'd be no reason in the world to call him. What would the Packers have seen in Jay Cutler during those 13 games where he went 2-11 that would make them say, that, well, that's a guy that could lead us to victory?
Jay Cutler is pretty good at throwing passes to Packers.
He really is.
But he wouldn't be if he was one of them.
Right, right. Then he'd throw to whoever the opponent was. His whole problem was he just wasn't good with color schemes. Everything else about him was good. He had a great arm. It was just figuring out which guy was on which team, which color was the guy wearing he wanted to throw the ball to.
My husband, whenever Jay Cutler's name was brought up, all Jim would say was uncoachable.
He's right. He's right. They kept bringing in offensive coordinator after offensive coordinator.
And he did what he wanted.
Quarterback coach after quarterback coach. And no matter who it was, it just didn't faze him at all.
Well, I mean, this hypothetical question is totally hypothetical. It would never happen, but he was asked this because I just remember hearing the quote that he's not sure he's hanging up his cleats forever.
Right.
Just for now, we'll see what happens. Get out now.
Right.
Get out now while somebody's sort of interested in your broadcasting career,
right,
and make a run at that and do a good job this year. Don't sit there and do yes or no answers.
Get out while the getting out is
mediocre.
Yeah. That's
Don't
what
go
he
back
needs to
in
do.
Cause you got out right now.
But people, he's not, Jay Cutler is not a fine wine that will age well. Like, the memory of Jay Cutler was a guy that was almost a 500 quarterback, but the legend of Jay Cutler won't get more intense as time goes on. People won't go, oh no, people, I remember he was quite a quarterback. No, he wasn't. No. He was, I said it the day he didn't resign with the Bears. I believe Jay Cutler is the biggest disappointment in the history of Chicago sports. I can't think of a guy who comes close to being as disappointing as Jay Cutler was.
And again, work on your chops. Go to a voice coach, an acting coach, a speech therapist.
Columbia School of Broadcasting.
No, hell, we can school him.
We could.
He needs to excel at this, so when he's doing it 10 years down the road, he can actually kind of include himself in the joke going, you know, remember when we thought he was going to be a good quarterback? Well, it turns out this was your specialty.
Right.
That's what he should focus on right now.
That would be the smartest career move in the world for him. But it is a ridiculous scenario because not just the Packers have a way of winning football games.
How do we get Aaron Rodgers? That's what I'd like to know.
Wouldn't that be nice?
I mean, how?
Well, you kidnap them is what you do. It's the only way. They're not going to trade him. You have to you have to find out where his summer home is, and you have to kidnap him and paint bear colors all over his body so he thinks he's with the Bears, and then he's ours.
Well, work on that, will you?
That's easy. That just became extremely easy.
I have some other sports news that I thought might interest you, although I don't know how often you get to Sandusky, Ohio.
Not that often.
An Ohio amusement park made good on a friendly wager over the World Series.
It's Kings Island, right?
Cedar Point.
Right.
During Cedar Point's opening weekend, they renamed a ride the Top Thrill Cubster in honor of the Chicago Cubs, who beat the Indians last year during the World Series. The bet was with Six Flags Great American North Suburban Gurnee, which would have featured a ride paying tribute to the Indians if things had turned out differently. So you have something that's called Top Thrill, and they added Cubster, which is worse than Cubby.
Yeah, it is.
Hey, Cubster.
No, it is worse. It's more pretentious sounding.
So Top Thrill Cubster is going on at Cedar Point's opening weekend, in a tribute to our Chicago Cubs.
So if there would have been, if it had gone the other way at Great America,
they would have put some kind of
Cleveland Indians ride.
Yeah.
And everybody would have choked at the end. Is that how the ride would have gone?
Yeah, that
would have been exciting.
I am done.
I like when cities do these bets.
But this is kind of a cool bet. It's not just we'll give you deep dish pizza. What do you have for us?
This is more inventive.
It really is.
Yeah. This is way smarter. And they have to keep it called the Cubster for how long? For a couple of weeks?
I don't know how long they have to keep it. Maybe the whole season. I don't know. But it was during the opening weekend when it's pretty crowded. I've never been to Cedar Point. I don't like amusement parks.
No,
at
I know
all.
You don't.
Really, we try to go to Great America once a year, and I just...
That's enough for you.
Yeah, and I don't really go on any rides anymore.
My wife did a commercial for Cedar Point years ago for one of their newer roller coasters, and it is... I've never been there, but everybody says it's the best roller coaster amusement park in the country is Cedar Point. So they open up a new roller coaster, and my wife played the mom in a scenario where it's mom, a dad, a boy, and a girl riding the roller coaster.
Were you jealous?
I was so jealous because she got to ride the roller coaster all day because they keep setting up different camera angles. So she wrote it. She says
I got paid for it
80 or 90 times.
Oh God, I'd be throwing up.
But she got so sick that it's not even funny. She couldn't. I don't think she was on another roller coaster for 4 or 5 years after that. She had so had her fill based on that one day.
You know, the only ride I used to get sick on when I was a kid at the carnivals was the Tilt-A-Whirl because it was spinning you like around. And that one I got sick a couple times. But as a kid, I enjoyed roller coasters and such.
But not anymore?
No. And I don't know if as you get older, you can't handle that kind of thing as much.
It messes with your equilibrium more as you get older.
Because I really... Several years ago, maybe 20 years ago, I went on the Batman ride whenever that opened at Great America. And that, your feet are dangling, and I went on it, and it's like a roller coaster, but your feet are dangling down. You're not sitting in a car. You're suspended.
Yeah.
And it hoops and whirls and twirls. And when I got off that was like the second ride we went on, I couldn't function the rest
really?
Of the... Really? It just, that was the last big-time ride I ever went on.
And that was years ago.
That was. I go on Splash Mountain at Disney because my kids make me do it, and I was apprehensive. I'm like, no, I'm going to get sick. I'm not going to like it. And when I gave in and just said, okay, whatever, Mom will go, I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
But some of that stuff is just too spinny and whirly, yeah.
The only thing I can't handle, and it's not that I can't handle it, it's just that I don't, it doesn't do anything for me, is when roller coasters have loops. I don't need to go upside down. Like, there's a certain point in your life where you go, I can't think of any reason to go upside down in anything. Like, you never see me do somersaults around the office, do you?
Not anymore.
I used to do them all the time, and now I'm like, I've done somersaults. But the thrill of going upside down is lost on me. I could do twists and turns and curves and dips all day long, but upside down gives me a headache.
So had you been in your wife's position, you wouldn't have minded riding on that thing for 80-some times?
I would have purposely messed up things so that they kept me on it longer. That's my dream, is to just go on a roller coaster all day long. I'd love that. And she knew when she got the job, you know, they explained to her, we're going to just shoot this from a bunch of different angles, and you're just going to have your arms up and be screaming and looking at your family like, well, isn't this the most fun we've ever had? But she said it was all day on a roller coaster.
You weren't jealous of her fake family? You were jealous of the fact that she got to ride 80 times?
Yeah.
She loves the fake family more.
She still gets stuff on her birthday. We'll take a quick break, and then some news, and then there's more show. It's us. It's Bill and Wendy on the stream on WGN. Brian, thank you. You are free to stay if you prefer, or you can leave, or you can do whatever you want. You're an adult, for heaven's sake.
Will there be Rice Krispie treats?
I can't imagine a scenario where there wouldn't be.
All right.
We got to start bringing treats.
Yeah?
Right. There's an interesting thing, and I don't want to reveal any names to get people in trouble,
mm-hmm.
But my eighth grade son, Dylan, texted me from the school bus yesterday and said, can we stop at the store when I get home? I want to get some summer sausage.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, this is
a weird
request.
It's a perfectly normal thing for an eighth grade boy to ask of his mom.
I look at it, and it's like, hey, can we get some summer sausage? And I'm like,
yeah.
Okay,
very specific.
Who has put the summer sausage idea into his head?
Does he have a new girlfriend from Dusseldorf?
No, but I was trying to explain to him via text that, you know, summer sausage, there are various kinds of summer sausage. There's like minced ham, there's summer sausage, there's
Is that a
Prosky.
Talk a mom should have with her son? Because in my family, it was always the dad that had that conversation with the boys.
No,
You're
I
very
told
progressive.
Them the facts of life and the sausage
and the summer
talk.
Sausage talk.
Yes.
You can sometimes merge those two. It's a very easy transition.
But this reminds me of Ryan asking the Rice Krispie treat thing.
Right.
I said, Dylan, where did someone have this for lunch? Why is summer sausage on your mind?
Mm-hmm.
And he said that one of the teachers, a gentleman teacher, I don't want to reveal too much because I don't
sure.
want to get him in trouble.
Of course.
But he brought a little summer sausage, and he was cutting off slices and giving it to the class.
As a means of, like, reward?
I said to Dylan, and it's cute hearing an eighth grader say this, I go, why does he do this? And he goes, oh, he just has stuff at home, and,
yeah.
you know, sometimes he'll bring a bag of chips, and he'll just lay it out and say if anybody wants any. It's the only class that we get treats in.
Cleaning out the back of his refrigerator.
Well, that's
maybe.
What it sounds like.
This has been back here since Christmas. Kids will eat it.
But then, I said, okay, well, let's go to Mariano's, and you can sample the various sausages
sure,
and decide.
See what you like.
They've got a lot of brat options there. I don't know if you've seen that. They've got like 80 different kinds of brats.
Lunch
there.
Meat brat?
Well, you go, and they've got the jalapeno kind, the cheese kind,
oh,
the
no,
beer
this
kind.
Is like the lunch meat
oh, okay.
summer sausage.
They want something in a summer sausage, not Ryan. Sure. You have to be
And Dylan was completely impressed that you don't have to refrigerate it. It comes
it's
wrapped up, and you can use your pocket knife and slice off pieces, and
yep.
I'm thinking, this is weird. It's kind of weird, but then I thought, you know what? This is towards the end of the day, probably fifth out of eighth period. It's
yes.
nice to get a little snack of some sort.
Soon he'll be asking you about fine cheeses.
I'd be okay with that. So we went, you know, I got home, and I texted my husband. I said, where are you? We're having a summer sausage party.
Oh.
So we had that, so we should start bringing in a snack for
All
whoever's
right.
doing our news.
I'm up for that.
Couldn't you use a little pick-me-up?
Absolutely. We had Veronica Carter, who works here. She brings in whatever. She cooks when she's bored. She bakes when she's bored.
Really?
And she just brings in cakes and platters, and she doesn't eat any of it. So I don't know. It's like a Hansel and Gretel thing. We think she's fattening us up for some reason.
There's some, yeah, there is some hidden motive.
She's not eating it, that worries me.
She says she just gets bored or she can't sleep, so she starts baking.
Or she's poisoned it.
Well, yes.
That's why I always try a little before you do. Just a little.
Well, that's why we've got interns and associates.
Yeah, right, right.
But, you know, just a little summer sausage in the middle of the afternoon.
It makes the day go a little bit smoother, doesn't it?
Well, I started thinking about it. Didn't you get the hungries creeping in at the end of the day when you were at school?
Yeah, but I got to tell you, at least the way my kids' school is, there is a specific list of foods that the kids can bring in. I mean, for
snacks. Is it
because of allergies?
Yeah, the peanut stuff, the flour stuff, the milk stuff. I mean, literally, my wife double-checks everything I buy at the grocery store for the kids' snacks. Like, oh, that's not on the list.
Right.
I'm like, well, it's the Aldi version. Nope, that doesn't work. It's got to be the Jewel or Costco brand of the Mott's applesauce or what have you. I mean,
that is crazy because, you know, especially in elementary school, up to fifth grade, my kids brought peanut butter and jelly sandwiches every day. And when I've brought this up on the air before, people said, boy, are you inconsiderate?
Why would that be inconsiderate?
Because of allergies.
Yeah.
But unless a school sends a note home, like sometimes kids have it where if it's even in the vicinity, like if they smell it or peanut dust or something, they can go into anaphylactic shock and it can be bad. But I would expect that the school never sent me a letter
and I did it
for 8 years. So I never heard a word. How is that being?
You're not being
inconsiderate.
My son loves peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, but he does not want to bring them to school because then he has to sit at another table without his friends.
Oh, really?
So he doesn't want to sit. He doesn't want the peanut butter stuff, even though he likes it. He wants to sit with his friends at the peanut free table. So he's like, no, just make mine a jelly sandwich.
All right, here's a question that I guess is obvious, but I don't know the answer to it. When I was in school, there wasn't a single kid with a peanut allergy, not one.
Me neither.
Everybody, it seemed like every kid had a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. All right, so what happened in a generation that so many kids are suffering from this? Was it just not being diagnosed a generation ago?
No, and we've talked about this ad nauseum.
What is it?
It's because of stuff like hand sanitizer. It's because our kids don't play in the mud anymore.
You don't build up immunity?
That's it.
Is that what it is?
And now I had heard something just recently, because when your babies are born, there's things that you're not supposed to give them right away. And I know
thumbtacks.
Honey. How did your kids Wendy, live
that's
to be 20?
One of them. Thumbtacks is on the list.
Like, did you know honey is not something you should give to a baby under one because you can get botulism from it?
Yeah.
I mean, I swear to God, I didn't know that. You didn't know that, did you?
Yes.
Apparently Jack Daniels either. You're not supposed to give that to
Okay, but that's dose. The obvious stuff. But
well, but is it? I don't know. Grandparents have these stories about, you know, teeth protruding through and you just throw a little Jack Daniels on there. There you go.
Vanilla extract is what we used.
We had, when my brother and I had a sore tooth, there was a blackberry brandy that my mom would give us on a cotton ball.
To Kuipers?
No, it was a different brand, but my brother had a streak where he had a sore tooth like every week for about 3 years.
And you were able to kick the addiction by the age of 12, right? Eventually.
Right. Yes.
But there was you're not supposed to give them peanut butter when they're, just learning how to eat, especially because it's globby so they could choke on it.
Yeah.
But now I swear to God, I heard some news story that, there are new guidelines as to, when to introduce peanuts. And I wonder if this will help prevent future generations from being so peanut allergic.
Maybe.
Possibly.
After multiple recent studies showing that feeding peanut-containing foods to infants can reduce the risk of peanut allergies, there are new federal guidelines for parents about when to start feeding their infants such foods. Mm. The National Institutes of Health announced that a panel of allergy experts recommends that parents introduce peanut-containing foods into the diets of babies as young as 4 to 6 months.
Just to get their system prepared for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because when you stay away from something and then all of a sudden you have it,
right,
that's when the huge allergy kicks in. This is from NPR.org, by the way.
What
so
do
your own research and certainly ask your pediatricians about that. But you're right. Not one kid was allergic.
Nobody.
And I don't really like peanut butter, so I just didn't like smelling everybody else's peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. I was a bologna girl.
Oh.
And I've spawned a summer sausage boy.
It's genetic.
It is.
He had no choice but to love the summer sausage.
But
he may be the first child in history to ask for it by name that way. I can't imagine that happening often.
I'm telling you, it was a group text between Jimmy Mack, myself, and Dylan, and he was on the bus, and he said, hey, could you go pick up some summer sausage for me?
Right.
And Jim and I both laughed, because it's like, that's exactly what Jim said.
Right.
It's part of the summer sausage lobby. They've been working hard on that. They realize they got to go to a new generation,
bring the kids
right?
in. Yeah. You got to bring the kids in.
Exactly, the Hickory Farms.
Yeah.
working the high schools and junior highs is what they're doing.
What was your typical snack when you were done with the day of school? You came home and you had what?
I don't really remember.
You don't really? You didn't have like the same thing almost every day?
No.
Ryan, was there one for you?
Fruit snacks.
You like the fruit roll-ups?
Yeah, that was one of them. No, just the little, like, they still have them now, like the little
like
Welch's jelly bean kind of things.
Oh, right.
Yeah. I feel like they used to be bigger too.
They were
my kids'
bigger.
Packages are tiny. I feel like mine was a big.
You got a big, healthy amount.
Exactly. Yeah.
I don't recall having after school snacks, and I know I did.
You just don't remember what they were?
No.
Huh.
Which is weird because I'm obsessed with food. You'd think that I would remember each and everything that I had.
Well, the issue with the list that my kids have, too, is, you know, you might have the exact same snack, but they don't have the ingredients on the back of them, so the school can't verify it. So you may have the, like I said, the Aldi version or the Walmart version of, you know, a Quaker granola bar, but because they don't have the information on it, it's off the list.
Right. That
and
makes
once
sense.
Once you get caught with one of those, straight to jail.
Yeah. Is that true?
It's true. Detention.
It doesn't even go to court.
Month, yeah.
I feel sorry for the parents, but I really feel sorry for the school to have to police this.
I think you should feel sorry for the dads, because the dads always get it wrong.
Yeah,
go out
what
shopping.
What is wrong with you guys that
I know
God,
the list is there?
I take pictures of stuff and text it to Jim, and he'll come home with the wrong item.
Mm-hmm.
What is wrong with you guys?
It's just part of... It's for some reason, it's just part of you to know that stuff. And for guys, we just can't.
But there's a picture. You look at the phone.
In our defense, we don't care.
There's part of this.
All right. You know what?
Part of it.
Thank you for being honest. And what was your after school snack that you remember so fondly?
We switched off between these three things. Sometimes it was those little toaster oven pizzas that were about maybe 4 inches in diameter.
Oh, my God. When those went away, it was the worst day of my life.
So good.
It was market day? Those market day ones?
No, this was before you were even born.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this is prior to you.
It was like a Hot Pocket that you would put, it kind of like a pizza puff, but they were round, correct?
That's it.
And they were
put them in the toaster
really
for
awesome.
3 minutes, 4 minutes. So it would be day. Then it was Kaboom. Sometimes the
I don't know
cereal.
What that is.
It was a cereal with a maniacal clown on the box. So it would be that sometimes.
That explains a lot.
I didn't even have to say maniacal.
No.
I think whatever clown you envisioned was accurate.
Yeah.
So Kaboom was one of them. And then the other one was, it wasn't really Pixie Sticks, but you know how Pixie Sticks is just, it's a long, obviously, like a straw or a stick, and then it's filled with that just colored sugar. That's all it is.
With a little tartness in there.
Yeah. So we would make our own by just taking Weiler's drink mix and filling up a Dixie cup and just putting a straw in and drinking like a whole cup of it. And then when we were done, we would drink another one. You know, it was just powder, colored powder. But it was...
How does that go down?
There's more sugar in that than there is in sugar. I mean, you couldn't
right.
have more sugar in a snack.
Yeah.
So my brother and I would have a couple of those and then... We'd walk to Michigan and back because we had a lot of energy. But that was the triad of after school snacks, one day after another after another.
I think
none of them good for us in any way.
The pizza things were probably
the
best.
That was the best. Yeah.
I don't really recall.
You don't? That was like such a big, like we couldn't wait to get home and have a snack and watch, you know, a cartoon or the 3:30 movie on Channel 7.
I know that I had the after-school specials, you mean? Because I loved those.
The after-school specials were great, but then, you know, it would be either Planet of the Apes week or Elvis week or something, or Shark week. That was like such a treat.
I swear to God. I know my mom gave me a snack every... Well, see, she was at work, so I would...
You were up to your own devices to come up with the snack.
And when I used to
She was
come
making
home,
veal parmesan when she came back, right?
My
right.
grandfather used to pick me up after school, and he would have cut apples and fontanella cheese and some wine.
How European.
He was born in Italy, so
I
guess
there was some summer sausage.
Summer day, Wendy, you'll have a little boy who loves the summer sausage.
Isn't that just the weirdest thing? Kevin, what did you have as an after-school snack?
Mostly summer. No, I'm just kidding.
I'm sorry. That was the funniest text I ever got.
Well, a lot of times for me, it'd be the goldfish crackers or a peanut butter and fluff sandwich.
A fluffernutter.
I've never heard that, but yeah.
You never heard it called a fluffernutter?
No.
And your mom prepared these for you?
Sometimes, yeah. Not the goldfish.
You would be banned from my son's lunch table.
Yep. You can't have that.
Nope.
Kids will go into shock just from looking at that, from hearing that.
Exactly. Exactly.
Wow.
Here's the text from yesterday. Can one of you guys pick me up a summer sausage? I want one after school.
Those actually, they're pretty expensive, though, aren't they?
Well, I just went to the deli. I didn't get him his own.
Oh, okay.
Wait till his birthday for that.
Yeah, right.
And then I go, summer sausage, ? And he says, yes, please. And I said, where did you see one? And he said, like, a summer sausage, isn't that a thing?
Yeah, well, yeah, he knew.
Have you ever eaten a summer sausage with the wrapper still on? Like, sometimes it's around that really thin red wrapper is around it. And you start cutting it, and usually it comes off, and you realize, oh, this is part of a wrapper.
Right.
But sometimes
you don't know.
You don't realize that.
Right.
It just helps in your digestive system.
I suppose.
Have you ever had the, at Chinese restaurants, they used to have this when I was a kid, and it was a miracle. It's candy in a wrapper, and you can eat the wrapper as well as the candy.
Rice candy or something. I love that stuff.
It still holds up okay, but when you're a kid, you're like, wait a minute.
You're still
Where did the rules go? I can not only eat the candy, but I can eat the wrapper as well?
But
I'm living in China.
Why couldn't you eat the outer wrapper? Why could you only eat the inner wrapper?
I think they're still working on that. Because
you should be able to just pop the whole thing in your mouth.
And then the box when you're done. Be able to eat everything.
Evidence destroyed.
I wanted to move to China so bad.
I still have a box of old baseball cards, and occasionally I open one up and the candy slides out of it.
Oh, yeah. The gum.
I've tried it.
Yeah.
It kind of falls apart in your mouth.
No.
You know, 20 years later.
It becomes like chalk.
It does.
It always was like chalk.
Yeah, even on its best day, it was more chalk than gum. Tops would, they were.
And then sometimes they'd have the gum stains on there. Like
the number 10 card, the last card in the pack, had like a pink.
Like grease almost.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that was your Mickey Mantle rookie card right there, right? With a big stain on it.
What kind of preservative were they using in the gum?
Because
I've got cards from the 60s, and that can't get the stains out from the gum.
I don't know.
All right. Well, here's wishing everyone a summer sausage type of day.
Happy summer sausage, everybody. We'll take a quick break, and then there's more show, believe it or not. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
The summer sausage is coming in. The summer wind came blowing in from across the sea.
Francis Albert Sinatra, the greatest.
Thank you, George Wendt.
All blue ice.
I didn't even know what summer sausage was. Honestly, I was telling you off the air, I haven't had summer sausage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, every once in a while, somebody would give your family like a Hickory Farms cheese and sausage log package.
Right. If you didn't know what to buy somebody in 1983, that's what you gave them. That was standard.
And our Hickory Farms was across from the organ store at North Riverside Park.
Oh, I bet that was the hub of activity.
It was. But that's what I envision summer sausage to be.
Sure.
Something that doesn't need to be refrigerated.
Yep.
And I haven't had it probably in 30 years. And when I tried it...
What happened?
It wasn't good.
No,
I tried it yesterday and...
You're not the fan that your son is.
No, and I wanted to make sure he liked it before I got a half pound of it.
Yeah.
And I have to have my lunch meat sliced so unbelievably thin you can see through it.
Oh.
And he wanted big, thick slabs of summer sausage.
Yeah, it's every boy's dream. It's not just your son. I think every boy, when, you know, left to their own devices, that's what they dream about.
Well, here's what his teacher told him. A summer sausage should be a sausage that can be kept and eaten without refrigeration, so it's ready to eat. And that's what...
His teacher told him that?
Yeah, so he told me that, and I said, well, once you open the package...
Right.
Like it's, you know, kind of shrink-wrapped in usually a red type of plastic.
Sure.
And I said, once you break that seal, I think you have to put it in the refrigerator. But I'm reading everywhere you don't have to...
I don't know that you do. I don't think you do, do you? I don't know.
I guess a Slim Jim isn't in the refrigerator.
No, it's not. And that's a miracle food.
Do you like Slim Jims? You did as a kid, didn't you? Because I did.
As a kid, I did. But I'm very sensitive to salt. Like, if there's salt on a food, if there's a speck of salt, I can taste it.
Oh, that's super
salty. So a Slim Jim is just salt.
I like a good Slim Jim every once in a while.
Yeah.
That's a good car ride thing. Spicy Slim Jim and corn nuts to me is the best driving
thing.
That's
a good fun trip food.
Definitely the corn nuts.
Hmm.
Makes the time pass by when you're driving to Nashville and it takes 7 hours to get there.
You eat one at a time.
All right. Well, that's all I know about summer sausage.
That's more than most people know.
But now I have a taste for bratwurst tonight. I'm in the whole Milwaukee thing.
I challenge other people doing webcasts. I'm sure a lot of other people are talking about summer sausage today.
It's summer, almost.
Right.
I just had a brilliant...
What is it, Kev? What was your thought?
The stream of sausageness.
That's excellent. That's fantastic. I have to mention something very quickly that is non-summer sausage related. Do we have time for
we
that?
We can move on. I just thought it was weird a teacher was giving my kid summer sausage.
Well, you can say that at the deposition, yeah. You can
I'm bring not going to accuse him of anything.
When this goes to court, you can certainly use that as evidence. Wendy, it has turned out that the man who's considered to be our greatest thespian, our greatest actor, of course I'm referring to Steven Seagal, has been banned by the Ukraine. He cannot go to the Ukraine.
What did he do?
Still say the Ukraine. It's now Ukraine. There's no more the. They have dropped the at Ukraine. It's just Ukraine. They have banned him. He is not allowed to go there. This is a story that is now developing. CBS is reporting. Ukraine has banned action film actor Steven Seagal from entering the country for 5 years. Seagal, an American, and let's be honest, I think it makes the rest of us proud to also call ourselves American, if we know Steven Seagal is an American, was given Russian citizenship by President Vladimir Putin last year in a ceremony that was shown on state television. Did you know that? I didn't know that happened. How did I not know that? He has vocally defended the Russian leader's policies and criticized the U.S. government. Well, that's depressing. A statement from Ukrainians'
What happened to you?
I'm so upset that Steve Seagal has been banned from Ukraine that I can't speak English anymore. It's so upsetting to me. A statement from the Ukrainian Security Service on Friday said Seagal's entry was banned on the basis of Ukrainians' national security, but it refused to elaborate based on that. And then I'm also hearing, this is upsetting too, Albania has banned Jean-Claude Van Damme, and Wyoming has asked Jackie Chan to not come by as often. How about that?
You know, whenever I think of Albania, and the first person I think of is John Belushi. Or am I wrong on that?
Meaning that John Belushi is Albanian?
Yeah.
Is he? I don't know if he is. He might be. Who's the second person you think of? If it's Jim Belushi, then they're definitely
Albanian.
No,
I said John. Belushi.
No, first person would be John. Second would be Jim.
Right. I don't even say
Are they Albanian?
Name. I thought so.
All right.
Armenian or Albanian?
Oh, that's
one of the other one.
That used to be on
the Game Show
Network. Jim Lang used to host that. It only lasted 6 years. I can't believe it's not on anymore. It was a great show. So anytime you hear of anything...
Yeah, that's the first person I hear of, and
John
I could be
Belushi.
Wrong.
I don't think he's Armenian, because the name... Armenian names almost always end in I-A-N, don't they?
I don't know.
Call Eric Bogosian and ask him if that's true.
Is he Armenian?
Yeah. I think Armenian names almost always end in I-A-N. So I'm going to cross Armenian off the list and say the Belushis, if one or the other, are Albanian.
Well, it would be both of them.
Yeah.
Yes, his father was an Albanian immigrant.
How about that?
That's what I always think of for some reason whenever Albania is mentioned.
Can I tie this together for you nicely?
Sure.
If this were the show Albanian or what was the title?
Armenian.
Armenian, you, for knowing that, would have just won a lovely summer sausage.
Good to know.
How about that?
I can't wait to talk to Dylan and see what his teacher gave today.
Right.
Perhaps it's cheese curds.
Oh, wouldn't that be something?
That's a nice little afternoon snack, I got to tell you. Maybe I'll start bringing snacks for us.
You know what? If it makes the kids want to learn more, then I'm all for it, Wendy.
I am too.
I'm all for it. Well, this is a sad reality. It turns out that the show is coming to a close. We've given all we have to give. We gave and we gave and we gave, and there's nothing left. The tank is empty.
If you missed the beginning of the show, we had a lovely little chat with John McEnroe, who Bill might be playing tennis.
Well, he's going to watch me play and hopefully criticize the play of Mark Harmon. That's my hope.
That's happening a week from tomorrow, next Wednesday. Do we still have tickets to give away tomorrow?
Yeah. There's going to be a pair of tickets to give away tomorrow and another pair to give away on Thursday, and then we're out of tickets. But you can easily get tickets by going to PowerShareSeries.com. I'll be playing with Mark Harmon and other celebrities, Chicago celebrities, at 5:15, and then the pros come on after us.
You're semi-pro. Let's do it that way.
Thank you for saying that.
But our lovely little interview, our chat with John McEnroe, you can find it on our podcast. We talked to Andy Roddick, is that his name?
Yeah.
John McEnroe, and then Mr. Poopalopagus, who else is playing?
The Snuffleupagus.
I don't know his name. Pusofrapromologus?
Mark Philippousis.
Okay, I was close.
Who we were supposed to interview later in the week, but now he's canceled, Kevin? That's definite? Yeah, he just canceled. He's out. What did you call him?
I don't know. I'm just trying.
No, neither of you are getting any summer sausage. I'm going to eat it all. Teach you a lesson.
Then I won't learn anything.
No, I guess not. All right.
Are we going to talk to him, too?
No, because you'll call him Snuffleupagus and he'll hang up on us.
What's his name?
Mark Philippousis.
I've heard you say it all week. I've heard John McEnroe say it, and it makes me giggle. That's all.
Mark Philippousis.
I like it.
Is he Algerian or Albanian? Or Armenian? He's Greek. All right. Now you see why the show has come to a close, right?
We should have bailed when we had the chance.
We had the chance. So close. All right. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye, Wendy.
See you, Bill.